when you look at verse 6, just read the word. Take God at his word. Take what Jesus is saying. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Awesome. When we believe that, then it might change how we live and how we seek to approach the Lord. I'm telling you too, like whatever it takes, I beg you, do not get to the end of your life and stand before the Lord. And he says, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the time?
Hey listeners, you have tuned in at a great time today here on Live in the Light. We are talking about one of the best weapons of the Christian life today, and that's prayer. Hey Robbie, you often say prayer is the easiest and the hardest thing to do as a Christian. Why is that?
Yeah, I'm really excited to get into prayer, Jesus teaching specifically on this as well. And you're right, Shannon, we do say that. Prayer is the easiest thing to do and the hardest thing to do. The easiest thing to do because anywhere, anytime Jesus is ready, the Father will hear our prayers. It's the hardest thing to do because our flesh hates it and the enemy is terrified of it. And so when Jesus teaches today on prayer, specifically teaching us how to pray, how not to pray, or examples again of hypocritical prayer, and then of course examples of prayer that is to be blessed and used by the Lord. So prayer is such a powerful means of how we seek the Lord and what he wants to use in our lives. And man, I just pray more and more of our listeners would truly engage in the reality and the power of prayer. So may today's message be used on that level. Lord, help us to never tire of seeking you in prayer and believing in its effectiveness and how you use it and will continue in our lives, in our families, and across our nation as well.
Amen to that. Okay, today in Matthew 6, we are digging into verses 5 through 8. And this takes us through four critical lessons on prayer. If prayer is critical in the life of a believer, which it is, it's our lifeline to the Lord, then lessons on prayer are ones I want to learn. So let me give you a heads up before we get into it. This message is all about your heart. Jesus wants your heart and your full attention. So open your Bible with me, if you can, to Matthew chapter 6, and we will start with Pastor Robbie in verse 5.
Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Pray you're encouraged already. Their time here together. So good to see you. So good to be together. Such a privilege to gather as the body of Jesus Christ, this local expression of that. As I said, Matthew 6, we're looking at verses 5 to 8 today. We are in a second week of our series now on Matthew chapter 6, which is a part of our greater series for our ministry year, unpacking the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8 today, our topic is prayer. Our topic is prayer. We're actually diving into a little two-week mini-series on prayer this week and then next week in the Lord's Prayer. Excited for that. And so prayer is a huge deal. I suggest to you today, when it comes to prayer in the life of the church, in the life of those who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, I suggest to you today that prayer is the most agreed upon weapon in the Christian life. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, of course, but then prayer as it relates to all of that as well. In fact, it would be hard for me right now to go around the room, find a genuine Christ follower, and have you not agree with the fact that prayer is vitally important to the Christian life. All those who are in Christ almost for sure would agree with that. However, it is also very likely true that prayer is the most underutilized weapon in the Christian life as well. The stats on those of us who pray consistently and sincerely before the Lord are concerning. The lack of prayer in the church has been devastating. And so messages like this right now are very, very penetrating and very, very important. See, what happens is that when you study God's word and you see the pervasive nature of prayer, when you understand the proper theology of prayer and what it means to be in relationship with the living God, adopted into his family, to be a new creation, what we start to understand is prayer isn't just a part of the Christian life. Listen, prayer is the Christian life. Prayer is the expression of our reality in relationship with him. So just to set the tone of clarity and to create some conviction as we get started here today too, we're gonna turn to Ian Bounds and his quote, and he says this. He says, nothing, listen to this, nothing distinguishes the children of God so clearly and strongly as prayer. It's a very powerful statement. It's a very bold statement. Just look at that, digest it. Nothing distinguishes the children of God so clearly and strongly as prayer. Separates those that are truly in Christ, a sincere form of prayer to him, to those who are not or false. And they have a hypocritical, as we'll see today in God's word, that their life is not true and real. He says this, it is the one infallible mark and test of being a Christian. Wow, wow. Like to think of prayer and its importance and its role in our lives as an expression of our relationship, again, in the Lord God Almighty. So this is also why when Jesus starts our passage today, he starts with when you pray, not if you pray. This is also why Jesus models prayer and he depends on prayer and he teaches prayer. This is why we take 2 weeks on prayer right now. This is why our sermon title today is Four Critical Lessons on Prayer. And this is why we pray about prayer right now. That makes sense, doesn't it? We're about to do this. We need to pray about prayer. I just want to take a moment. We have briefly prayed. I just want to pray again. As we do that, Father, with sincerity, we just declare our need for you right now and our desire to bow low before you. And Father, we need you. We need you. We need you. Maybe, Lord, it's so good to start off right now too. Father, forgive us for our prayerlessness. We repent of our lack of prayer. Our prayerless lives indicate self-sufficiency. We don't want to do that. So instead today, would you grow conviction and clarity in pointing us to a greater dependence on you through prayer. Prayer is so simple, it's so profound. It's so beautiful, in some ways so easy, it's so hard at the same time. The enemy is terrified of prayer. Our flesh hates prayer, and yet it is the very thing that cries out that we are in relationship with you. So Father, help your church today. Help your sons and daughters today. Father, you hear, you're real, you are good, you are loved, and we need you so much on this beautiful, massively important issue of prayer today. We pray this in Jesus' name. If you agree, you can say amen, amen, good. Matthew 6, verse 5, here's what Jesus says. Today's gonna be convicting. It's very simple. It's very simple. But I think that's the point. Matthew 6, verse 5, God help us. He says this, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And the Father, notice, who sees you in secret or sees in secret will reward you. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard, notice, by their many words. A lot of people think that. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So here we go today. We desire to be people of prayer, I pray. We desire to be a church of prayer, I pray. So four critical lessons on prayer. Lesson number one is this. Avoid hypocritical prayer at all cost. Avoid hypocritical prayer. Look again at verse 5. Verse 5 says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, here's the key, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. I want to be clear here as we start here on this passage. Jesus is not in verse 5 speaking to the posture of prayer. He's not against certain forms of prayer and their posture. What is at the heart of verse 5 in this text? Jesus is speaking to the motive of prayer. The motive of prayer. The heart behind prayer. The heart behind why we're praying and what we hoped to gain from it. Scripture is replete with examples of saints standing in prayer and kneeling in prayer, hands raised in prayer, lying prostrate in prayer. In each of these situations, you have godly men and women who are fervently and earnestly seeking the Lord in prayer. From Genesis to Revelation, that is the case. Jesus himself, again, did different forms of prayer. In John 11, Jesus prayed to be heard by the people around him just as he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. It was Jesus, before he was feeding the 5,000, he gave a blessing publicly again to be heard and to see that the glory again was from the Lord. Jesus in Gethsemane fell down on his face. He was lowered to the ground in utter anguish in prayer. Again, it is not the posture of prayer that is the problem. It is the motive of prayer that counts here. In verse 5, Jesus commands, you must not be like the hypocrites. Hypocrites, in the Greek word hypocrites, is the word used for stage actors. Those actors who put on a mask, they were performing a show. It was not really them. That's where that word comes from here. Jesus saves his strongest rebukes for those who externally look like something, but internally they are corrupt. In Matthew 23, when Jesus is so strongly rebuking the Pharisees, he says, you whitewashed tombs. You present something on the outside like you're super spiritual, but on the inside you are graves, you are tombs, you are dead. Again, Jesus' strongest rebuke, I mean, hear it today, just brutal rebukes and so harsh in the sense are those who pretend to be something on the outside for external purposes of drawing attention to themselves, but inwardly are corrupt, inwardly are fraudulent, inwardly are superficial, inwardly have no substance really in the Lord. Notice in verse 5, it is those who love to stand and pray in the synagogues. So this is people who are praying. They want to perform where they get the most attention. They want to perform their spiritual moves where the people are most gathered. The synagogue was the center of life for the Jewish people. So this was the place, again, for the Jewish person that wanted to stand up and pray in the synagogue where the people were gathered. This is where they would get their most likes. This is where they would receive the most attention if that's what their hearts were going after. Also in verse 5, notice it says, and at the street corners. So in their external piety, this was to be showcased at the most opportune time at the street corner where the crowds were gathered. For the Jewish people, they had multiple times a day where they would pray, 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 p.m. The devout Jew, no matter where they were, would stop at that time and pray. For those who really wanted to showcase their spiritual talents, they would use this opportunity on the street corners to proclaim their godliness that people might be impressed around them. This is what Jesus is speaking against. And Jesus confirms this when he says in verse 5 that they may be seen by others. That's the indictment of our passage today. It's those who are praying. It's those who are making spiritual moves, because at the end, they're not interested in God's glory. In the end, in reality, they're interested in self-glory. That's what Jesus is indicting here in such a heavy way. This is the disaster of hypocritical prayers. Think about it. Think about it. You have people standing up. They're presenting outwardly a prayer to God and praise of him. But in reality, they are using an outward form of praise to God. What they really want to get is praise from men to themselves. That's the devastation of what we're talking about and what Jesus is addressing here today. Supposedly a prayer to God, but in reality, you want glory to come to you. The devastation of hypocrisy, which, by the way, is the same theme of giving last week in verses 1-4, obviously today, and then a couple of weeks from now, the passage on fasting, it's all the same theme. Do not perform these religious exercises to draw attention to yourself. It can never, ever be about us. But this is what the hypocrite does. This is what the Pharisees were so in danger of. They present a facade of God's glory, But in reality, their motivation is self-glory. John Stott said this. He says, we pretend to be praising God, but in reality, we want men to praise us. See, that's blasphemy. And this is what all of us today need to stop and to examine our hearts, because it's subtle, but it's serious. We can make spiritual moves. We know the right things to say. We know the right people to talk to. We know the right places to position ourselves. We know the right tweets to send. We know how to do certain things. But in reality, if it's about our glory, not God's glory, that again is the critical indictment from Jesus here today. We must all examine our hearts, because the human heart is so utterly wicked so often. We must examine our motivations. Our motivation is before the Lord. Why do we do what we do? Why do we say what we say? Why do we appear where we appear? What is it really going on there? How easily we speak holy things to impress those around us. How easily in a small group setting we pray a certain way, but we're not really praying to God. We're praying to impress the people that are listening to our prayer. How often our service to the Lord is only validated if people recognize us. That's deadly. I'll say that again. How often our service to the Lord is only validated when people recognize the fact that we are serving. That's completely backwards. That's completely wrong. That's a complete revealing of the difficulty and struggle and sin within our own hearts. How often sometimes we are tempted to cloak ourselves in spirituality, but in reality, we long to be seen and praised. That is what was happening with the Pharisees. This, again, is what Jesus is speaking so seriously about. We make spiritual moves, as I said, on social media. We present a front of our lives or our family or our position. And really what's behind that is we want the likes to come. So in that moment, we've just destroyed the pure motive of praising God, and we've brought on a earthly temporal reward that will never last. Listen, how often we can make moves in this place right here, in this room, in this building, people from this church, we can make moves, spiritual moves all the time in prayer and service and whatever it is. And we make spiritual moves that are seen. We walk around and pray for people even. We like to be known as the person who's going around. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing if it's sincere, if the heart is right. But if we're doing that to be seen by others and be like, oh, that person's really spiritual, that's where it all empties out. That's where it adds up to nothing. That's where what Jesus is saying right here just will not be rewarded. This is where we must examine our hearts and our motivations to avoid at all costs hypocritical prayers. And I'm telling you, man, I think all of us need to put our hearts on the table today. Man, my heart's on the table this week and the weeks leading up to this, and things I have to repent of. I mean, just the reality that you think your heart's in the right place and you look closely, not so much, man, not so much. God, forgive us. Notice at the end of verse 5:2, notice what Jesus says. He says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So again, the devastation of hypocrisy and self-glory is this, church, ready? When we are doing things for self-glory, listen, you better enjoy your reward, because it ends right here. Like, it ends with you or me. If we are seeking, and this is very important, I guess, Holy Spirit, help us examine our hearts, whatever it takes right now, when we are seeking to do things, again, for our glory, again, enjoy the reward, because it ends now. Like, hey, listen, there's zero reward with the Lord when we're rooted in self-glory. Zero. Zero is what he's saying. You have received your reward. It's over right here and now. Nothing for Christ. Nothing will add up in the end for Christ, is what he's saying. Enjoy the temporal praise of humanity, which is so weak in as it is, and neglecting and disregarding again the true reward that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, in the end, what's happening here, Jesus wants, he always wants the heart. He wants my heart. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. When he has your heart, he has your everything. I'm just, again, I hope this has happened already. We take a moment. Let's just deep spiritual breath. Just take a moment, pause, and just examine our heart. Lord, examine our hearts. See if there be any grief. Search me, O God, and see if there be any grievous way within me. and lead me in the path or the way of understanding. Search us, God. Why do we say what we say? Why do we go? How come we're trying to talk to certain people? Is it because we just want to be with someone we think that? God, help us. Examine our motives. Avoid hypocritical prayer. Engage in authentic prayer is the second one. Number two, engage in authentic prayer. Positive now. Look at verse six. Verse six says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let me be clear here as well. This verse six does not mean that we are to never pray in public. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. Because if he was, that would mean that the early church ignored the commands of Christ. Because they prayed publicly often. Jesus himself, we learned, also prayed publicly. So Jesus going against his own, again, living and lifestyle. Also, the Lord's Prayer that follows this passage is stated in the plural. It's our Father. It's deliver us or forgive us. It is a prayer to be made for the church, by the church, with the church, a prayer to be made together. If we cannot pray publicly, then essentially we could not gather as the church. So this is not a prohibition to pray publicly. What Jesus is saying here, though, is this, that our public prayer is to be the overflow of our private prayer. And this is very, very important. See, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray in secret. When we pray, why is praying in secret so important? Here's why. When we pray in secret, it's just us and God. When we pray in secret, when no one else is there, there's no pretense. There's no one we can impress. The only person who sees is the Lord. When we pray and seek the Lord in secret, we show the Lord that we desire him, that we love him, that our affection is for him, that we are pursuing him, that he is our priority. This secret prayer and secret devotion shows the Lord, there's no one else here I'm trying to impress. So God, it's you that I want. It's you that I need. It's you that are the treasure of my life. When we pray in secret, our hearts are purified. Our motives are purified. Our hearts are laid out before the Lord. You see, so secret prayer and devotion is one of the great barometers as to our true devotion for Christ, because only the Lord is present. This is such an important point that Jesus, again, is stating emphatically here. I love this morning when I read in Matthew 14, after Jesus feeding the 5,000, he withdrew by himself to the mountain to pray, because Jesus understood it's in the place of secret place that he communes with the Father to continue to move on in his ministry. Jesus, my heart delights when I read that this morning. The secret place is the fuel for the genuine Christian life. We must understand that. It's where it's us and the Lord, no one else, seeking him, loving him. God, you are the priority. The power of devotion, of intimacy, of simplicity, of communing with God in this way. Again, notice again how much Jesus is about the heart. He's so much about the heart. And 100% this is true. The heart is cultivated in the secret places. This is something we must take so very seriously. We seek the Lord privately if we are to bear any fruit publicly. As it turns out, I was traveling this week, but as I was waking up to, in my scripture readings in Acts chapter 10, I read the story of the Roman centurion Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, we came across a verse I love so much. The Bible tells us that Cornelius was a very devout man. He gave generously. He feared the Lord, and it says he prayed continuously. He was sincere in his devotion, again, as he knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened was, in Acts chapter 10, which is so encouraging for me, an angel appears to Cornelius and says this. I mean, listen to this. This is a verse I have underlined and circled and everything else. It says this. He says, Cornelius, your prayers and your alms, your giving, have ascended as a memorial before God. Your prayers have risen as a fragrance to the Lord. The Lord has remembered, the Lord has seen, and the Lord is gonna act on your behalf. That is so beautiful, that is so powerful. And the prayers of Cornelius, as God sent an angel to him, and then God sent Peter to him, and Cornelius would be used in one of the major turning points in the early church, where God revealed that Gentiles also would be, again, they'd be used, they would be allowed the gospel to reach them and be absolutely transformed. The gospel would reach Jew and Gentile. Such a powerful, powerful time. But we see here, listen, Cornelius, your prayers have ascended to God as a memorial. The prayers in the secret place. Love that. Your prayers, my prayers and devotion to Jesus Christ. God sees, God knows, and God's watching. Reminds me of 2 Chronicles 16:9, such an important verse where it says, the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the whole earth to seek to strongly support those whose hearts are blameless towards him. Like right now, church, right now, the eyes of the Lord searching every row, every seat, in Orangeville, in Overflow. The eyes of the Lord, and what's he searching for? He's searching for devotion. He's searching for affection. He's searching for those who are committed to him. He's searching for those who love him. I'm telling you, okay, so like, I know the stats in the church. I know the stats of those who profess Christ. There's few of us who have an active pursuit of devotion for Christ on a daily basis. There's few of us that have an active prayer life and devotional life in the Word of God consistently throughout our lives. There's few of us. Telling you, man, what Jesus is saying here today, this is the fundamental for blessing in our lives. This is the whole basis for those he uses, those that he dwells in, those that he blesses, not an easier life, but a blessed life, 100%. So interesting here. If you look at the end of verse 6 here, at the end of verse 6, he says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Loved ones, look at that. Look at that. That's a promise. Jesus is making a promise here. For those who seek the Lord in a secret life in terms of devotion and affection for him, he is promising the Father will reward those who seek him. I mean, take that to the bank. Don't read it casually. The Father is promising reward for those who love him with sincerity. It's so interesting here that in verse six, where it says, go into your room. The word room, again, in the original was often used as a storeroom, and a storeroom was often used where treasures were kept. So potentially this is indicating that treasure is found through secret prayer. And is there any limit, listen, is there any limit to the blessing of prayer within our lives? Is there any limit to what God will do in terms of the blessing of prayer as we truly seek him? Oh Lord, would you grow us in our hearts for prayer? So simple, so profound. So simple, so hard. So beautiful, so important. Seeking the Lord in prayer to him, to our Father who loves us so. Again, one of the critical foundations. Again, when you look at verse 6, just read the word. Take God at his word. Take what Jesus is saying. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Awesome. When we believe that, then it might change how we live and how we seek to approach the Lord. Telling you too, like whatever it takes, do not get, just, I beg you, do not get to the end of your life and stand before the Lord. And he says, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the time?
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna-